I make it 10 o'clock. So welcome, everybody. How lovely to hear your voices or see your faces. What a great start to the day to be able to worship God together. And so hopefully, I know not all of you can see your order of service, but hopefully you can, most of you can. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Let your ways be known upon earth,
and your saving power among the nations.
Bless the Lord, you heavens.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, all people on earth.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
O people of God, bless the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart.
Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind, as we rejoice in the gift of this new day. So may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The first reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so we turn to our psalm, Psalm 34, and we begin by saying the refrain together.
O taste and see that the Lord is gracious.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
O taste and see that the Lord is gracious.
Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
O taste and see that the Lord is gracious.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Jesus, our living bread, we have an appetite for you and we come wanting to feed on your word. Jesus, you offer life to the world, eternal life, raising us up on the last day. Keep us hungry for you with the anticipation of a feast of the finest food, food that brings life. Amen. Amen.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I warned you that for several weeks we would be stuck in a series of Bible readings which are based around food, specifically bread. And here we are again, we're still talking about it. This morning we have Jesus' statement to his disciples that unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But what does that mean? Up until now, we have explored what it is like for us to be nourished and sustained by Jesus, our daily bread, the bread of life. But this morning, let's look at it the other way round. What is it like for Jesus? What is it like for Jesus to feed us? When God invites us to feed and nourish on him, what is it like? What is it like when we accept his invitation? And what is it like when we refuse? Obviously, we can't know for sure, but there are clues in Scripture which show us something of God's desire to feed and sustain us. As you have probably worked out by now, I am a feeder. It is a deeply entrenched part of my personality. I'm not sure if I would have been such a feeder if I hadn't had children, but I know that feeding my family, sitting with my children around the table, eating and talking, has been such a large part of my life, and it still is. It's all about motherhood and grandmotherhood. There are several images in the Bible of God as a mother. In the book of Isaiah, God describes himself, or is it herself, as being like a woman giving birth, and goes on to say, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." In the Gospels, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem and describes himself as a mother hen who longs to gather her chicks under her wings. Much later, St. Augustine wrote, "When all is well with me, what am I but an infant suckling your milk?" And St. Teresa of Avila wrote much the same, crying out that God's milk was her sustenance. So what does that mean for us, that God is like a mother feeding her babies? When I had my children, I assumed I would breastfeed my babies. I had read all the books, and so I was something of an expert. It had never occurred to me that I would have any difficulty in doing so. After all, it's natural, isn't it? It's what we mothers are supposed to do. I had absolutely no idea how much time it would take to do so, never mind the sleeplessness and the pain. Ouch, I remember it well. It didn't come naturally at all, either to me or to my baby. Between us, we didn't have a clue. We had to persist at it, and at times it seemed all-consuming. But then something happened, and we bonded and developed a rhythm. And at last I was breastfeeding my baby, and it was a wonderful thing. I don't think that there is anything more beautiful than holding your baby who is full and sleepy and drunk with milk that you have provided. So why am I telling you this? I wonder whether Jesus feels the same as a nursing mother with her babies. Does he long for the moments when we feed from him, relax with him, are surrounded by him, experiencing that intimate oneness with him and full of the food only he can provide? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, says our gospel reading this morning. If we are nourished and fed by God, we remain with him. We abide with him. If my analogy of a nursing mother is correct, that means not only do we experience the pleasure and delight of such intimacy, but so does God. God delights when we are fed by him. Of course, it's not always easy being a feeder and a nourisher. What do you do when someone won't eat or can't eat? If you're like me, you try and find something that will tempt the appetite. Marks and Spencer's chicken teddies have been a great success with my grandchildren. But I remember when my daughter was in hospital and convalescing, desperately trying to find something, anything that would help her to eat. If she mentioned anything she thought she might like, I would make sure that she got it. And oh, the disappointment when she didn't like it, and the joy when she did. Eating and taking nourishment meant life. And so it does in our Bible passage. Jesus says, "Unless you eat, you have no life in you." These are strong words, but I think they are the words of a loving parent who desperately wants their child to live. Come on, eat. Just a bite. Try a bit more. Well done. God knows how much we need Jesus, the bread of life, and to eat from him. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever, Jesus says. Jesus is our bread. He is the bread of life. The very reason we stay with this thought over so many weeks in our lectionary gospel must show what a vitally important teaching this is. Jesus, the bread of life, is fundamental to our faith. Jesus is our bread. May we eat and live. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face hardship and persecution day by day. Surround them with your love. Guard and keep them, we pray. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We pray for the troubled nations of the world and for men, women, and children whose lives are threatened by war and political unrest, by poverty and injustice, by famine and natural disaster. And today we especially remember the people of Afghanistan. And more close to home, we remember the victims and families affected by the terrible shooting in Plymouth. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all whose lives and livelihood are threatened by the continuing pandemic in every corner of your world. We pray for those who care for the sick with inadequate resources for scientists and researchers seeking effective treatments, and for those in positions of authority, that they may have wisdom to make right judgments for the good of all. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We lift to you, O God, those known to us who stand in need of your healing today. We pray especially for the sick, for Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Christine, Mike, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, Ron, and Gordon. Be close, we pray, to all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing by the power of your Spirit. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving all whom we love but see no longer, and those who have died recently, especially Daphne Brown and Patricia Pugsley. We pray for their families and friends and ask your comfort and consolation for them and all who mourn. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. And the collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your mighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace, that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us again this morning. Thank you, Jill, for helping me with the service. It's been lovely to see you all. I hope you have a great day and see you soon, either next week or sometime in between. Have a lovely day. Hi, Tilly. Oh, look at you, Tilly. Olaf, is it? Oh, we've got Tilly dressed up as an Olaf here.